Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get Mortgage. The boxing world, actually the sports world, is still buzzing from the big fight over the weekend. Tyson Fury, as he gets a technical knockout against Deontay Wilder in round 7. And here to chat about the fight is a legendary boxing trainer, also a legendary broadcaster, and that's the great Teddy Atlas here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Teddy, thanks for the time, and how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Let me start you off, though, with Deontay Wilder. I'm reading his quotes about using the costume, the 40-pound costume, as an excuse, and I sit here and I just say BS. How about yourself?
I say that it's on par with the dog ate my homework.
I've used that before, I think, when I was in high school.
Yeah, I used it a couple of times, too. It's right up there with that. I mean, you know, can we be gracious in defeat? You know, he used to love to yell. And look, I'm not trying to knock him right now, but I think we have a right to talk about this because he opened the door for it. So, and if you're going to talk, you talk honestly. Otherwise, what's the sense? So, I'm not trying to be hurtful, but he had no problem when he was knocking guys out, screaming, bomb squad. He had no problem. Fine. Okay, you got the right to do that. You won the fight. Can you be gracious now that you lost and just say you got beat? Can you just say, you know what, he was the better man? Can we do that? Yeah, he was the better man tonight. You know, I'm going to be better next time. I'm going to get my title back. But, you know, he was the better man tonight. But to go down that road, you know, as strong as a fighter can be in a ring, and he's a tough guy and he's gutsy and he showed all that, Wilder being the guy I'm talking about, but as strong as he could be in the ring, it's amazing how weak you could be outside. You could be afterwards. Can you use some of the strength that you have in your vocation, some of the strength that you have in your trade, some of that when it comes to outside of the ring, when it comes to dealing with defeat right now, and just be a little gracious and just say, you know what, it wasn't my night. Okay, I had a lot of nights that were my night, and tonight wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't like the excuse making right after the fight, and I didn't like it the next day when we heard the explanation kind of change. Were you surprised, though, with all that being said, just with how quickly his legs did go in the fight? Because by the third round, his legs really did start to go.
Yeah, no. I'll tell you why. And I'll be first. I'm not trying to say, oh, it's Teddy Atlas, the genius. No, because I'm gonna be completely transparent. We want to be honest. If I do something right, I want credit for it. But I pick Wilder to win, so I was wrong. That's the first thing. But was I surprised to see his legs go quick? No. You know why? Because forget about the 45-pound suit that he wore. You want to know what screwed up his legs and made his legs look bad? The right hand behind the ear in the third round. Put some thought on that and understand that. Blame it on that, but not on the suit. He got caught that right hand behind the ear in the third round. I don't think his equilibrium ever came back completely. And you get hit behind the ear. It's one thing to get hit on the chin. You could go out, or you could get dazed, and then you recollect yourself, and you get yourself back together. But behind the ear, that's a little bit of a different situation. You know, your legs disconnect a little bit from your mind. and it's the equilibrium, it's the canal behind the ear. So I wasn't surprised because I knew where the punch landed, and I know the effect of that kind of punch. And another thing that, as long as we're talking about him making excuses and pointing to the wrong thing, I'll tell you where it bodes not well for him. Not only in the PR world, in the gracious world, as far as, you know, looking like the kind of person you want to be able to root for, to say the right thing. But it hurts him as far as going forward. Because if you're making excuses and saying that's why you got weak, instead of saying I didn't know how to get away from a right hand, then you know what? Chances are you're not going to correct the mistake, and you're going to have the same damn problem the next time.
Teddy Atlas here with us, and you bring up a great point, and it's right in the aftermath, so maybe over time he does adapt and change. You also see him blaming the assistant trainer in Mark Breland for throwing in the towel, and I thought it was the right call to throw in the towel. But I'm curious, and I said this going into the fight, one of these guys are finally going to lose for the first time on the professional stage, and I can't wait to see how someone like Wilder does adapt to this, and if any changes are actually made, or is the ego going to be so bruised that he's just going to keep on pointing the finger somewhere else?
Yeah, listen, that's the $68,000 question. Or in today's terms, in today's world, maybe the $50 million question, because they each made somewhere in that neighborhood the other night, and I'm sure it's not going to be too much less, if not more, the next time they meet. But it is so important. If you're going to learn, you have to be able to check your ego. Check it at the door, you know, and you got to be honest with yourself. And it's funny. I often refer to the ring as the chamber of truth, where the truth will come and find you pretty damn fast in that ring. And yet, outside the ring, you get out there, and then some of these fighters who face it inside, they face the consequences of the truth, unlike most people in life, but then they get outside and they don't. And, you know, again, it's not just going to be a matter of somebody teaching him, because he does have to be taught, but it's going to be a matter of whether or not he's receptive to being taught, whether or not he, obviously he's coachable, whether or not he's got the IQ to learn these things, but if he's open to it, and that's something that's going to be very important, because he's going to have to change something. It's not going to be not wearing that costume that's going to win the fight the next time for him. And I'm not being a wise guy right now, but it's not going to be that's going to change things next time. It's going to be his ability in the ring, his ability to get away from punches he wasn't able to get away with. And quite frankly, his ability to stand up to what was coming at him better than he ever had, or more than he had been forced to in the past. He kind of got, the bully got bullied a little bit. You know, it's almost inherent that a bully, that a good puncher is a bully, because he gets his way. It's got all the characteristics of a bully in life. You know, he gets his way, he gets away with things, he intimidates people, everyone backs down from him, he wins all the arguments. But when you're a puncher, you win all the arguments. Guys disappear. You hit them, they disappear. They don't argue back. You don't have to go through that neighborhood of dealing with things, of overcoming things. But then all of a sudden, one day, somebody stands up to the bully, and the bully's lost. He doesn't have to wear the wall to deal with having to overcome, having to deal with resistance. And I think that was a big part of it. It was the physical component, no doubt about it. Getting hit with the right hands, getting dominated. But there was the mental component of him not being in charge, of him not getting his way, of the bully not bullying the other guy.
Teddy Atlas here with us, the legendary boxing trainer, also a fantastic broadcaster. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we get into his corner, I didn't have a problem with Breland throwing in the towel, but on the broadcast, they were making a big deal about how they weren't really treating the injuries, his corner, and they weren't really making adjustments, and it seemed like his corner was just keeping on waiting and waiting and waiting for him to deliver that big punch, and it never came. Take me through all your reaction from the Breland side, and then also how the corner just did handle the fight.
I think the corner was as unprepared as the fighter was for anything besides a big punch landing. It was kind of like, let's go land a punch and go home. Hey, guess what, buddy? The other guy's got a different plan. The other guy is not signing on to that tonight. You know, I mean, it sounds like a good idea. Well, not bad if you can get it. It's a, you know, it's like it's a good gig if you can get it. But, you know, sometimes you can't. And they looked as unprepared as the fighter, quite frankly. Like we never expected this.
And there were no adjustments. Zero adjustments.
Yeah, like we never expected it. We thought, you know, whether it was the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, third, whatever round it was, just like the first fight, we're going to land a punch. We're all going to look like heroes. We're all going to slap each other five. And we're all going to go to the after party. And, you know, they weren't prepared for plan B. And I had to laugh one time with not knocking the commentators, but there was one commentator that said, gee, you know, his balance is horrible. His feet are too wide. Are you just realizing that? Are you just realizing that? And, oh, he's got to get his feet back. Guess what? You can't do it in the locker room. You can't do it during the course of the fight. That has to be done in training. That has to be put in place before. And guess what? This ain't the first time he looked horrible technically. This ain't the first time he had bad technique. This ain't the first time he threw right hands like they were baseballs with Willie Mays throwing them from left field to home plate. This ain't the first time he's been doing this. But he's been getting away with it. He's been getting away with it. And guess what? He didn't get away with it Saturday night.
We're talking to Teddy Atlas right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Teddy, as I told you before you came on air, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to spend two segments with the legendary trainer and broadcaster, as there's so much more to cover from Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder's fight, the rematch, going back to Saturday night. So we covered a lot in Deontay Wilder. When we come back, Tyson Fury fans, you don't want to miss this, as there's a lot more to talk about. Teddy Atlas coming on back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's bring back on our guest in Teddy Atlas. He was great with us in part one of the conversation, the longtime boxing trainer and broadcaster. And Teddy, we covered so much in the first segment about Deontay Wilder finally losing and how he's handling himself. Let's get to a story, though, that I really love, and that's the story of Tyson Fury getting the victory. But it goes so much more than that. Beats Klitschko, then has to battle his own personal demons with mental health, had suicidal thoughts, depression, and was going through addiction. And he was able to battle through that. Of course, had his absence from boxing, was up to 400 pounds. We see him eventually come back, get some victories, have the draw up against Deontay Wilder. And then in the rematch on Saturday night, he gets the victory and he's the talk of the boxing world. You've seen a lot of stories in your career as a trainer. Where does the Tyson Fury story rank? Just wondering.
Right up there. It's we all fight for something in life. And, you know, it doesn't have to be in a ring. We fight. For me, boxing has always been a metaphor for life. And no better example than this kid. None. It's a great story. It's a great, great backstory. I mean, I take it to this. I take it to when he was there in this fight to make all this money, to have a chance to win the world title for one reason. One reason, because he got up in the last fight. One reason he got up. And everything that he went through with the battling the demons, with the drugs, with the depression, suicidal thoughts, nobody should have suicidal thoughts. Nobody should be thinking about giving up the gift of life, the great, great gift of life. Nobody. And he was. He was thinking of not living anymore. And I think when he was laying there on the floor and he looked like he was gone and he got up at the count of nine, to me, he was laying there and his life was passing in front of him. He was thinking about all the things we just talked about fighting the demons, about not wanting to live anymore. And then all of a sudden, he said, I'm going to live. I'm going to get up. And bang, he jumped up. and he got up. And to me, it's his greatest story as any. To me, they're selling it short by not really letting people be introduced to that story. If it was me, I'd be saying, listen, to all you people out there that are fighting your own demons, that are fighting your own fights, your own battles, you can always get up. It's never too late. You can always get up.
When we had him on, he was describing it to us. There'd be days he'd wake up and it would be sunny outside, but all he would see in his mind is dark gray clouds, and he would pray at night for God to kill himself. You know, as we were talking about that with Teddy Atlas, you know, when describing Tyson Fury, it was really cool after the fight to just see him sing and have that moment of elation, too, to just see how far he did come.
You know, it's the rainbow, baby. You know, it really is. You know, it's Alice in Wonderland. It's the beauty of crossing that rainbow at the end, the golden pot at the end of the rainbow after all the rain, the thunder and everything else. There is an end. There is a rainbow, if you want there to be. If you can stick with it long enough. If you can believe enough. If you can work hard enough. And he did. And it's a great reminder that it's never too late. It's never too late to get up. It's never too late to get back in a race. It's never too late to turn it around. It's never over until you say it's over. He was laying there, and he could have said it's over. And we wouldn't be talking about this right now. But he didn't say it's over. You have control. To me, that's where I walk away with. It's a reminder of the greatest power we have, the power of choice. We have the choice. No one else has the choice. Even that night, Wilder didn't have the choice. He landed a bomb right hand. It wasn't his choice. It was still Fury's choice of what he was going to do about it. And to me, he's just a poster child. He really is, to remind you that it's your choice in life.
I saw you on TV this morning as we're wrapping up with Teddy Atlas, and you said that he was the closest thing to Ali. He's not Ali, but he's the closest thing. Explain what you mean by that.
I mean, listen, I don't want people to get up in arms and get crazy and get nuts and start, you know, get a Teddy Atlas voodoo doll and start sticking it with stuff, you know, because how it's blasphemy. How dare you compare him to... I get it. I understand all that. What I'm talking about is as a promoter. He's a genius. Ali was a genius as a promoter. Genius. Conor McGregor is a genius as a promoter. Fury is a genius. A genius as a promoter. And he's got one other thing in common with Ali, whether or not the Ali fans want to give it to him or not. He knows how to win. Ali knew how to win.
Where do you think the state of boxing is at right now?
I think it's in a flux. I think it's a bit in a flux where it's great. You know, it's great. It's hot. It's out there. It's in people's consciousness, you know. And then there's lulls. You know, it's kind of like Diana Ross and the Supremes' great song. Ain't no mountain high enough, you know. Valleys and...
Low enough.
Valleys and heights. And
ain't no river wide enough.
Yeah, you know, I mean, really, it's just, you know, it can be up and down. And when it's up, it's really up. It's really up. And, you know, it takes somebody in the heavyweight division, somebody with imagination, somebody with zeal, with zest, with that it factor. Whether it was, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard in the welterweights after the Olympics, you know, that was uncommon because usually it was the heavyweights, or of course if it was Ali or it was Tyson, you know, whoever it happened to be, it's usually the heavyweights. When the heavyweight guy can lead, when he can be that guy to put that spotlight in the sky, you know, kind of like in the old days when they were opening a new restaurant and they put that big spotlight up in the sky. What did you do? You got curious. You followed it. Where you want to see what's there. He's that spotlight right now. And right now, with him there, boxing is in people's minds. It's got the attention of people right now. Will it keep it? See, that's where boxing screws up. Unfortunately, that's where it steps on its foot. Where where then you get some sanctioning organization, and they all come up. They come along, and they strip the title, and they give it to somebody whose guy was taking care of them, and all of a sudden you got a guy there that shouldn't really be in there, and you just screw it up. You just screw it up. But right now, it's kind of like, it's like leaving a Rocky movie. The music's in your ears. You feel good. You want to run those steps. You can't wait. You can't wait. You want to throw punches in the air. You leave that theater, and you feel good. It's just a matter of how long does the music last.
Last one for you, Teddy Atlas. You've been great with us on CBS Sports Radio on the Zach Gelb Show. We know we're going to see this fight again. We're going to see the Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder round three. You know, Anthony Joshua is going to want a piece of Tyson Fury, too. Who can take that throne away from the Gypsy King?
You know, first of all, the biggest fight out there, as much as they want to enact the, you know, and they, I guess they will, if they can, they want to enact the rematch clause, but, you know, with the Wilder Fury 3. But the biggest fight out there is Joshua. I mean, Joshua...
Who wins
Joshua
that?
Joshua has put 90,000 fannies into Wembley Stadium, and he was fighting the doorman from the King's Arms restaurant. I mean, he was fighting chefs and short order cooks over there. You know, they make the cheeseburgers with the egg on top over there. and it's good. I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah, really, it's nice.
So who would win that fight, Teddy, just wondering, between Fury and Joshua?
Well, it's really interesting. It's so easy to say Fury. So easy, because Joshua still he got knocked out by Ruiz, and then he made a transition. He recreated himself. He became a different guy, physically, technically, everything. He started boxing. He used the ring. He did all that. But he still looked fragile. He still looked fragile. Every time Ruiz got a little close, Ruiz was so heavy, you know, he couldn't give the right effort. But every time he got close, you had your throat you had your heart in your throat. If you were a fan of Joshua, you said, oh my God, is he gonna fall apart here? Is he gonna be Humpty Dumpty where you can't put him back together? But he was able to box. He was able to survive that fight. I look at the fight with Fury, where it's easy to say, all right, you know, now Fury will go and he'll do what Ruiz couldn't do. He'll track him down and they catch up to him. But, you know, you never know. You never know, because Fury, the guy whose greatest asset is the box, has made a short transition where just the last two fights, the fight before this one, the Whalen fight with the southpaw where he got the bad cut, which was really a dress rehearsal for him to be aggressive, because before that, he was a Dancing with the Stars guy. He was a guy who used his legs, his defensive abilities. He boxed on the outside. All of a sudden, the last two fights, he became aggressive. Who knows how Paddy's got it down? You know, he was able to do it against Whalen. You know, just a certain talent, not a great talent, but a game guy. And then he was able to do it with Wilder, who was completely out of sorts, who he hurt early. He got a free ride with, to a certain extent. We really didn't see, could he be aggressive with a guy who has better boxing skills? Again, he was aggressive with the southpaw Whalen, who was only a marginal talent. He was aggressive with Wilder, who doesn't know how to box. That's, I think everybody will kind of admit that. Can he be aggressive with a guy who showed the capacity to box? That's going to be interesting. That's going to be really interesting, where you can't automatically say, oh, he's going to track him down, he's going to knock him out. No. Maybe he's going to have trouble with that style of Joshua.
Teddy, you're the best. Can't thank you enough. We really appreciate it.
No problem, bud.
There he goes, Teddy Atlas here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Really do appreciate him sitting with us for two segments. Really awesome stuff in breaking down the entire Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury fight. You get the just excellent story with Tyson Fury that we could all learn from. And then for Deontay Wilder, it's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing how that's the best excuse he could come up with. Oh, it was the 40-pound outfit that he wore into the ring. Like, does anyone actually believe that? Sean Porter said it best last night. That is on his body for maybe 20, 25 minutes at most. That's not the reason he lost this fight. But when you never lost before the professional stage, you search. And right away, there's that denial stage, and that's what Deontay Wilder is in right now, and we'll see what adjustments he does make. 32 past the hour, it's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. The Rangers, by the way, were up 3-1, and then they allowed a goal with about 5.5, 6 minutes left. And then I'm sitting here next to Jay Berman with about 20 seconds to play, and the Islanders tied up, and now it's going into overtime. I'm a Rangers fan. And Jay Berman is an Islanders fan, so this will be a very upbeat Jay Berman for the latest CBS Sports Radio update coming up next. Of course, it's the closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God, we're back again.
20 to the top of the hour. Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast. On CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb on Twitter, Z-A-C-H-E-L-B. Make sure you send me your tweets and give me a follow. We'll give you the final poll tallies before we say goodbye right at the top of the hour. And also on my Twitter, you can find all of our show content, interviews tonight with Mark Pope, the men's head basketball coach at BYU, Chris Holtman of Ohio State, Matt Rhule, and then Teddy Atlas, which you just heard a few moments ago. And if you missed any of the segments, you could find that as well right on my Twitter, just via our show page. And make sure when you go to our show page, or if you listen to us via our podcast, wherever you find your podcast, that you do rate and you do subscribe as well. All feedback is welcome. Okay. Let's do what we do each and every day to end the show. It's a little segment that I like to call the closing bell. Two stocks that are up in the sports world, two stocks that are down. And right now it's up to D-Ben, Tom DiBenedetto, to ring that New York City Stock Exchange bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
By the way, real quickly, I love the sport of hockey. And Jay Berman sitting here. The Islanders tied up after the Rangers blow a two-goal lead in regulation. Rangers very quickly in overtime get the game winner now at 72 points on the season. As they're having an incredible second half, 14 out of their last 20. So a bonus stock up to New York Rangers, winning 14 out of the last 20, 8 of their last 9, and they have an 8-game road win streak. Okay, now I'll just start my real stocks ups that we did have on the script. Unfortunate news, obviously, on Monday. It was, of course, the memorial for Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant on February 24th. When you have moments like that, especially when you lose the life of a legend at 41 and you lose his daughter at the age of 13, there's not many moments of laughter at those types of events. But you look for the people speaking to pay proper tribute, and then someone after speaker offer a moment of levity. I've been in a situation before where I've had to give a eulogy. And it's a very tough situation to try to crack a joke, but you're trying to do that in that moment. So people try to really shift their attention to the positive memories on what is such a dark and sad and somber day. And I'll give a lot of credit to Shaquille O'Neal, the story that he told where a few teammates are mad at Kobe for not passing the ball, and Shaq goes, "Hey, Kobe, there's no I in team." And then Kobe goes, "But there is an Emmy," in that few words I can't say on the radio. So nice job of Shaq to, and only the way Shaq could do it, to offer a few chuckles in what was a very emotional and somber day. And what Vanessa Bryant did, I don't know how she had the power to do it. Her speech was unbelievable. Not only mourning the loss of your daughter, which I couldn't even imagine, and then also the loss of your husband. But she is a very strong woman. We know that. And what she was able to do at the Staples Center was really, it was inspirational. And I still can't get over that speech. But when we get back to the levity part of it, let's listen up to Michael Jordan poking some fun at the crying Jordan meme.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crying meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years. That is what Kobe Bryant does to me.
So a nice job by MJ, Shaquille O'Neal, and all the speakers at Monday's phenomenal and really emotional tribute to remember Kobe and Gianna Bryant. So stock up to Shaq, Michael Jordan, Vanessa Bryant, and all the speakers. Another stock up goes to two quarterbacks. We expect Joe Burrow, and we know Joe Burrow is going to be the number one overall pick. Bucky Brooks has him going number one to the Bengals. Tua Tagovailoa, Bucky Brooks in his latest mock draft has Tua going five to the Dolphins. Then Justin Herbert going to the Chargers. But let me mention two names who stocks are really making a rapid climb. In Bucky's latest mock draft, Jordan Love, the quarterback out of Utah State, is going 12 to the Raiders. And then at the end of the first round, Bucky has Jacob Eason, the quarterback from Washington, going to the Green Bay Packers. So a stock up to Jordan Love and Jacob Eason, and I'll be very curious to see where they go in the 2020 NFL Draft. Mikey B.
Stock up to Steph Curry, who will be back in action on Sunday. Curry missed 4 months because of the broken hand. We'll see Steph Sunday versus the Washington Wizards. And it's just good for the league to have Steph back. It hasn't been the same without him. We know how bad the Warriors have been this year. They have been terrible with Klay Thompson out, Kevin Durant no longer with the team, and after like the five Warriors, it's impossible even to name another one. So stock up just to have Steph Curry back in action, even though the Warriors are done. It's good to see him playing basketball again. Stock up to Steph Curry. And then stock up to the camaraderie in the newsroom, the control room, and then behind the glass where you're sitting, Zach. The last five minutes of this...
I usually
sorry,
say
you know what I mean. I said it wrong. You know what I mean. I'm just point of
you're
reference.
You're getting a little comfortable here, Mikey B. I'm going to need to take a baseball bat and swing it at you.
It's not how I meant it. It's not how I meant it, and I mean that. Just being literal. I would not. Trust me. I'm a very humble human being.
Can you imagine when Brian Monzo was producing Mike Francesa, if he got on the air and said, "Hey, Mike, nice to see you sitting on the other side of the glass."
I meant literally. You're in the other room. Oh, my goodness. I would just, you know what? All that camaraderie
just
talk
I've
changed my mind. It was awesome just seeing all you guys getting into this hockey game. I didn't really care who won, but seeing you root for the Rangers, Tom root for the Rangers, and then Jay Berman getting into it with the Islanders goal and the cheering. It felt like we were like at an event at a bar. It was kind of cool to see. I liked that as from an outsider's perspective, not caring who won the game, stock up to everybody.
It was like we were at a bar. Do you see any alcoholic beverages here?
Well, I mean, no, there's no drinking, but that camaraderie, that vibe, that energy, it was really cool. I liked it until the end, and I messed it up.
You blew it!
We really packed up that one to pieces, but I appreciate the sentiment. It was kind of a cool moment.
Yeah, it was fun. It's like Jay got into it, ran out 20 seconds before his update, then that Rangers goal came, and I heard a scream from your area. It was cool.
Classic example of the derangement of us New York sports fans. But anyway, back on track here. Stock up to Sabrina Ionescu, of course, the superstar.
Great call.
From Oregon. Had an amazing day yesterday. Spoke beautifully at Kobe's memorial service. I mean, stunningly beautifully. And then went on to help her team defeat Stanford, where she notched her 1,000th rebound and become the first college basketball player, period, men's or women's, ever to have 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists in an absolutely remarkable career. So stock up to Sabrina. And stock up to Texans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly, who is now today will be calling plays for the Texans in 2020. Now, obviously...
Wait. Bill O'Brien actually did some delegation?
Apparently.
He's not running the offense, defense, special teams, the front office,
especially the play calling. It's a huge part of his reputation that he calls the plays. So I guess stock up Tim Kelly because you've been set up as a fall guy so that there's someone to blame if next year doesn't go so well for Bill O'Brien. So stock up, kind of.
Haven't they used all the fall guys in the Texans organization?
Evidently not. They can just make new ones.
Hey, stock down to Luis Severino. He had the injuries last year. Today it was announced that he's going to need Tommy John. All the Yankee fans that are already popping champagne, take the champagne off ice just for a little bit. Realize there's a lot of games to be played and injuries could always be a factor. Stinks to see Severino go down. But unfortunate injury news. So the Yankees lose one of their better starting pitchers. But hey, then yet again, they did sign Gerrit Cole in this offseason. And the Astros can't be banging on trash cans this year. So Yankees still have a very good shot to get back to the World Series. But they just lose one of their better pitchers in Luis Severino. Big fat stock down to Deontay Wilder. Loses his first fight of his professional career. And afterwards, he's blaming it on a leg injury. Then the next day, he's upset with the assistant trainer for throwing in the towel. But the most egregious excuse that I've ever heard was that 40-pound costume that he was wearing entering the ring is what he blamed for the loss because his legs were shot. Maggie Gray, who does a great job on WFAM and Mark Melusis, used to host here on CBS Sports Radio, brought up the point that she's seen brides dressed in heavier gear on their wedding day and heavier costumes, and they're still rocking and rolling at the end of the night. And she's right. My sister got married over the summer, and when it was 1 a.m. and we're still at the celebration area, my sister's doing the air guitar on the floor after she was all decked out in her, you know, bridal costume, whatever you want to call it, where she's wearing 40, 45 pounds probably of gear and all that stuff. Come on! And she was wearing high heels too and still doing the air guitar and having some fun. Deontay Wilder, you didn't lose the fight because of the costume. You lost the fight because Tyson Fury hit you with something and your ear got all messed up and you had no way to land that signature big punch to knock out Tyson Fury. Stop with the excuses. Stock down to Deontay Wilder and a stock up to all the tough brides out there that wear 40, 45 pounds of armor or whatever you want to call it on their wedding day.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell! Sell!
Stock down to the reporter that asked Jalen Hurts if he was willing to change positions and not be a quarterback. Like, Jalen Hurts is a quarterback. If he makes it or not and how he does in the pros, only time will tell. And I loved Hurts' response, and he was a team guy, but he's a QB. So stock down to whoever asked him that, and hopefully that crap can come to an end. Stock down to that reporter.
Two thumbs up to that one. Great job, Mikey B. And then, you redeemed yourself.
Yeah, thank you very much. And then stock down to Bradley Beal's teammates. This dude is doing everything for the Wizards. He had 55 in a loss to the Bucks, 53 in a loss to the Bulls. It's not enough. I feel bad for Bradley Beal that he's stuck there. He's such a talent at only 26 years of age. Stock down to the Wizards and the teammates of Bradley Beal.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell! Sell!
Mikey B is just better with negativity. Usually a positive person. 9.9 times out of 10, you're usually a positive person.
Yeah.
In this segment, I think you're better with negativity.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe we'll do 4 stock downs for Mikey B tomorrow. Not saying you're doing a bad job, but you give 4 stock downs instead of 2 stock downs.
Okay, I'll work on it.
All right, stock down to the Tokyo Olympics, which are supposedly in flux because of the coronavirus. They may have to make a call on a cancellation in the coming month or two about this. And the person from the IOC who broke this news to the public is named Dick Pound. So, you know, do with that what you will.
No comment.
And then also today, the competition committee had a postseason survey, the NFL competition committee, where they voted on the future of the pass interference replay, and it was overwhelmingly voted down. So recommendation of no to kill this rule after just 1 year. Of course, it only happened because of how the NFC Championship game ended two seasons ago, but this rule may only see 1 year of actual implementation, and it was a pretty awful year. So stock down to the pass interference replay rule in the NFL.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell! Sell!
When you go to Richard William Duncan Dick Pound's Wikipedia page, he's a Canadian swimming champion, a lawyer, and a prominent spokesman for ethics in sports. He was the first president of the World Anti-Doping Agency and vice president of the International Olympic Committee. He is 77 years old.
Dick, you're a Richard, man. You just got to go by Richard. You're just not a dick. I'm sorry.
Fun show today. We're ending. I'd like to thank Mark Pope, Chris Holtman, Matt Rule, and Teddy Atlas for joining us, and each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. Zach Gelb Show. Talk to you tomorrow. Chris Beard will join us 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific right here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm out. Peace!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.